Coming up next is Hemp Rock Radio on
WEEDRadionetwork.com. Thanks for turning us on.
Hi, Hemp Rockers. Welcome to Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, featuring the Hemp Rock Cafe and Pottsbury Bakery.
Hemp Rock is online at HempRock.com. The Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and Burn Man's 420.
Hi, I'm Gatewood Galbraith, criminal law attorney and the last free man in America. You're listening to Hemp Rock Radio.
All right, we are doing a quick intro to the show today. And the reason for that is not only time constraints, but also because not only do I have a very, very cool guest in the studio, but I also have a very, very cool interview with an associate of our in-studio guest. We told you about it yesterday. It is in honor of the Saturday. Signs of Life, Pink Floyd tribute band's show. Now, we're going to be talking to John. And of course, that is John Stancorp. Right? And you are the creator and lead guitarist of the Pink Floyd's Signs of Life tribute band. We'll be talking to you here in just a minute. But this is the Hemp Rock Radio Show. Now, moving forward, what time do we have in the studio here Eastern? Let's see. 108. I have 108, 109. Either way, if you just tuned in, this is Hemp Rock Radio. I am the Happy Hemptress. And of course, Pot and Hash, the Pottsbury Dope Boy, is over there rolling the pot. And, of course, Burn Man and Country Kenny's smoking it, but our other guest isn't. But he's just really cool anyway. And so we're going to go jumping right into that. As I told you, we have in the studio John Stancorb. Is that correct, John?
That's right.
All righty, go ahead and move your mic up where you're right there on it. All righty. I know you're a guitarist, not a... Oh, yes, you are. You are
the singer as well.
You are the singer as well. Yeah. Now, of course, he is the lead guitarist. And as he said, let me just say this. You're like David Gilmour of the Pink Floyd tribute band Signs of Life.
Yeah, that was my motivation for playing music, and especially in this particular group. David Gilmour is the reason I play guitar and play music. So, yeah, he's my number one influence musically.
Well, that's fantastic. He's my favorite element of the band, as far as I'm concerned, the six-member Pink Floyd, because if you include Sid and everybody, and then you add John Karen in,
right?
And actually, if you want to say, technically, we could go seven with Guy Pratt. Married into the family of
Gayla,
Rick Wright,
married Gayla Wright.
Yeah, so it's a seven piece band as far as
I'm concerned. That's right.
But not all at the same time, unfortunately. So you are the guitarist of Signs of Life, and the band is playing the Covedale Cinemas this weekend. Now, this is your fourth show as a tribute band?
Yeah, this is our fourth show.
I saw your first at the 20th Century.
Yeah, that was April 10th of last year. We've got, I think, four shows scheduled this year, and this is the first of the four.
And where are the other three?
We're playing the Sycamore Township Summer Concert Series.
Awesome.
June 12th, and back at the 20th Century Theater, September 4th, and we're looking at a Canal Street Tavern show later in the year. So
very, very cool. Now, that's not a very big place, is it, the Canal Street?
No, that's it's not a particularly large. I think it's maybe 100, 150 people.
So will it be the full show like you're going to do at the Covedale?
It won't be the full show. In fact, probably do a slightly scaled down show it'll be the same line, but it won't be the same video presentation,
almost like an old Pink Floyd show.
Actually, we're in the process now putting together a acoustic group called Signs of Floyd Pink's Acoustic Pulse, which is acoustic guitar, strings, piano, and just kind of more of an unplugged show.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, and that should be our debut show for that particular lineup.
That will be really interesting and fantastic.
Yeah. And then we'll be playing that particular acoustic show December 4th at the Redmore in Mount Lookout.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
More intimate presentation of the Floyd material.
Yeah, well, as you know, I'm a huge Floyd head. Mm-hmm. And when I found out that there was a local Floyd band here, I was on cloud nine, as they say, and got a hold of you. And it had also at the same time found an article in the local Enquirer about a local guy, Dr. Bob Donovan, a doctor for the homeless here, and how he was inspired. And of course, that was the 1987 album. Now, I know that's also part of your inspiration, correct?
Yeah, that was...
Besides the whole entity of Pink Floyd.
I'd started playing music as a result of seeing David Gilmour in 84, but the show that I saw...
Cincinnati Gardens.
The Cincinnati
June
Gardens.
June 7th, my
June
birthday.
7th, 1984. Yes. I got my first guitar shortly after that.
Fantastic.
But getting Momentary Lapse of Reason, going to see the show up in Cleveland's... I guess it's Rich State, something, their outdoor concert. That was
May 16th and 17th.
That was huge. So it was a big
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm inverting two tours. I'm sorry. Yeah. May was the 94. 87 right. was September 16th yeah, and 17th.
The
That's right.
Delicate Sound of Thunder.
Yes.
Momentary Lapse of Reason.
And absolutely fantastic. I was there on the 17th, the second night. Yeah. So we've actually kind of followed each other around
seen some of the same shows. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I found that out also with Bob. He's been at a couple of the same shows that I've been at.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what. I want to get some more of your story and more elements of the band. But we do have 25 minutes that we want to talk to that I talked to Dr. Bob this morning.
He
could not come from the clinic. He's got clinic right now with the patients.
Okay.
And so we're going to go ahead and kick off that interview with Dr. Bob Donovan, our local, as far as I'm concerned, hero for the homeless.
That's right.
And we'll be back in 25 minutes.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio.
All right. This is the Happy Hemptress, and this is Hemp Rock Radio that you're listening to. This is a pre-recorded, as they say, with a very, very, very special guest that I have at the Hemp Rock headquarters. And I'll tell you, I can't even say how thrilled I am. My guest today is a Dr. Bob Donovan. Dr. Bob, how are you doing today?
Doing well.
Wonderful. Well, I want to let the listeners know why you're on. First of all, of course, today's guest is the lead guitarist from the local tribute band Signs of Life, a local Pink Floyd tribute band. And as most of you know, I am a huge Pink Floyd head, as we're called. And my two guests, the one in the studio and the one on the line right now, I think are probably the only people I know that are just as big of Floyd heads as myself. And Dr. Bob, first of all, I want to say thank you for the work that you do. Now we're going to talk about that. And Dr. Bob Donovan, and I make the joke, you're the homeless doctor, and I always say, but he's not homeless, he's just the doctor for the homeless. Now that, of course, is here in the downtown Cincinnati and the tri-state area here. And the first time I heard about you, Bob, was out of the local Enquirer's top page article sometime, I guess, last summer that was. So tell me, first of all, you know, we're going to talk about what happened, but tell us exactly what it is that you do right now.
Okay. I'm a family doctor, and I work with the Cincinnati Healthcare for the Homeless program. I work for one agency, and they contract me to work out of four different other agencies that work with homeless people. So I do primary care, medical care for people who are homeless.
And exactly where do you do this at? Do you have a facility?
Four different places. One is that I've been doing it for the longest is we have a mobile clinic. It's a 40-foot truck with a couple exam rooms in it and an office, and we go from shelter to shelter. And I used to do that half time, and now I just do that one afternoon a week at one of the soup kitchens in the area.
Which one is that?
Our Daily Bread. It's right across the street from the Finley Market.
Okay.
And then I also work at the clinic on McMicken, where we do primary care and behavioral care. And I work there 2.5 mornings a week. And then I work at the Pike Street Clinic in Covington one morning a week. And then 5 days a week, I go to the Center for Respite Care, which is a 24/7 facility for homeless people recovering from medical illnesses. So they have a bed there and get their meals there during the time that they're recovering from their medical illness.
Well, I'll tell you, it just thrills me to know that there are folks like you out there. And just as an aside, and we'll talk more about it in a minute, but something I thought was funny in the article that I read, besides the Floyd connection behind us, you also are from the Finneytown area? Is that where you live now, or were you actually from Finneytown?
I'm from Finneytown originally. That's where I grew up, and now I live in Over the Rhine.
Over the Rhine. So what did you go to Finneytown High School?
I went to St. X.
You went to St. X. Okay. Well, I was Finneytown. I lived in Finneytown myself, so we might have seen each other on Winton Road somewhere.
Could have happened.
So I thought that was really kind of funny. So now, of course, the real connection here is the Pink Floyd connection. And tell the folks what it is. First of all, how long have you been doing the homeless doctor stuff?
Almost 22 years that I've been doing healthcare for the homeless.
And so that would probably put it about 1988. And imagine that. So what happened in 1987, 88 that made you want to become a doctor for the homeless here?
Well, I had been in a private practice in Springdale. Great practice, great partners, loved it a lot. But I had I always had a kind of a nudge going on to do something for people who had less access to their medical care.
Yeah.
And simultaneously, I was also thinking about there was a spiritual side that was connecting with all that too. And so I kind of simultaneously left my practice and moved to Dayton to become a brother in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So I started that. That happened in 88. That was a year long. And during my second year after that, I was looking for what do I want to do now for my work. So I began looking in a number of cities, and I guess I had a lot of connections still in Cincinnati, so I had somebody who really went to town looking for something for me here, and coincidentally, providentially, the Healthcare for the Homeless program was just starting up at that time, so it just seemed like the perfect match, so I came back to Cincinnati kind of unexpectedly and started working with the Healthcare for the Homeless program here.
And so now part of that was because you became a brother in the Catholic Church then?
Correct.
And aside from that, I know what the answer is, but tell the folks besides that religious faith, what spurred you to do this kind of work?
Well, there was and that was in the article pretty big time too, is there was this Pink Floyd connection, which kind of brought along, and as he emphasized, the song On the Turning Away was kind of a that could be a theme for what I kind of found in all these other places too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm not going to read the entire song, but I will read from the last chorus. It says, on the wings of the night, no more turning away from the weak and the weary, no more turning away from the coldness inside, just a world that we all must share. It's not enough just to stand and stare. Is it only a dream that there'll be no more turning away? Well, I'll tell you, Bob, although we went in different directions, that song inspired both you, me, and many other people. And I can't say that in one respect, the work that I do even comes close to being a doctor working for the stuff that you're working with and the people that you work for. But it's still the same kind of thing. I felt that there was something that I needed to do, and for the things that I believed in and the way I lived my life, and I chose at that same time in 87, 88 to act on the same exact song. And although I, again, went into a different direction, and you're a part of that now being on this show, although I didn't think, hey, I think I'll start a hemp rock radio show. It didn't quite come like that, but it certainly was an inspiration to get active in politics and in trying to make the changes that I feel and people like myself feel need to happen in this country and in this world to bring about better things and more positive life. I don't want to digress on our topic, of course, which is the hemp and the marijuana and the drug war itself, but I'm sure that there is an element of the negative sides of the drug war that you see in your work.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly people get trapped into things like that, and certainly within the homeless population, there's a large degree of addiction.
Absolutely.
And then we get people with felony records, which makes it hard for them to get housing and jobs.
And get out of the system.
The cycle just deepens.
That's right. And that's what I look at, is it is a cycle, and it's not necessarily the cycle of addiction. It's also the cycle of the court system, because, you know, let's look at the bigger picture. Most people that smoke marijuana and even experiment in other drugs don't become addicted. It is a smaller portion of our society. And one of the reasons why I was thrilled with the work that you do as a doctor and stuff is knowing that it is a medical issue, not a police issue. And something I want to ask you if you know about, because I know you do work with addicts. Have you ever heard of a addiction drug called Ibogaine?
Not immediately.
Okay. Are you happen to be a watcher of Law & Order, the television show?
Oh, yeah.
Have you happened to have seen an episode last year? It was, I'm going to forget the name of it now. It might have just been called Addict. I can't remember now. It was about a young group of teenage kids that belonged to a youth group, and there was a guy that was supposed to be a medical doctor, therapist, that was helping the teenagers and in empowering themselves, and it turned out he was empowering most of them by getting them addicted to heroin. And in order for the police in the story to stop this guy, they had to get one of the guys, one of the kids who was 16 years old and addicted, clean in order to testify against him. And I'm sure you have noticed that even more so in recent years, Law & Order has become really soapbox style and really hitting on the hard issues more so in the last few years than ever before.
Uh-huh.
And this was where they took the stand in support of Ibogaine, and they have the cops say to the FBI therapist guy, "So you mean this stuff can cure addiction in 24 hours and it's illegal?" And so what it is, Ibogaine is a psychedelic plant from Africa. It's from the Iboga plant. And in a 24-hour state of mind of the psychedelic experience with a therapist sitter that helps them work through, helps them work through the issues that are causing addiction in their life, it also has an alkaloid in the substance that can trip that addiction chemical that is causing the brain and the body to be addicted.
Uh-huh.
So it's about a 93% to 94% success rate. Unfortunately, it is illegal in this country, and you have to go to Canada or Mexico to get the substance. And again, probably 95 out of 100 people will never go back to the drugs that they were addicted to, and that can include opiates, to cigarettes, to alcohol, even sugar and things like that. And it is amazing. And unfortunately, because of our drug war, people can't get access to this. And then you see what's happening in the streets with the pharmaceutical drugs, and I'm sure you see some of the things that happen. People use the pain meds, then they become addicted because that's just what happens.
Oh, if you absolutely.
Use them for a long time. And then the doctors go, "Oh, but you smoke marijuana, you can't have your pain meds anymore." And then you've got addicts running around. And that's unfortunately rampant right now in this country. It is terrible. So I wanted you to be aware that there is this other way to help people, and that's part of also what we do here is try to educate people on that. But now, again, the bigger issue is my kitty, the Hemp Rock mascot. The kitty is coming into the room meowing here. He likes to get on every Hemp Rock TV program we do. And I wanted to kind of touch base on both of our issues because, again, it all comes out of, for me and you, Pink Floyd, and specifically this song, No More, or On the Turning Away. And, I don't know what else to say other than people just need to understand that there's more really to life than just getting up, going to work, and doing your thing, coming home, watching TV, that we as individuals have to do our part to bring about positive things in the world. And I can't tell you besides yourself and myself how many people I have met that Pink Floyd has done this for. Of course, not to say that other music and other bands haven't, but Floyd, as you know, is just a driving force. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on with John, of course. Now, let's go to that part of the topic. I read that article, and right around the same time, I heard about the band Signs of Life, a local tribute band, who I was like, oh my God, we have a local Pink Floyd tribute band. That's fantastic. And I got a hold of him, and I got him on the phone, and I said, so John, did you hear about Dr. Bob? And he's like, who's that? So I filled him in on the story that I'd read about you. He, of course, tried to get a hold of you and didn't make contact till after their first show at the 20th Century last year. Year or so ago. And so then I recently found out in talking to John about the new show coming up this weekend that we also want to talk about for a minute, that you joined the band, so to say, as a videographer to do the video work for their shows. So tell us about that part of your life.
Well, I have a friend who, and I, we've been doing some degree of videography for, gosh, I can't even remember when our first one was. It was at least 25 years ago.
Wow.
30. And we began, we were sitting around one day and thinking, we were thinking about film, and then we found out about public access in the city.
Yeah.
And, signed up for that, went out and took the courses and began to do some videography. Mostly what we did was we took some usually some kind of music that we had produced and then put video to it. So they were, in some senses, early music videos, but not quite. The two were just, it was kind of more artsy than what typical music videos would do. So we just had a great time doing it together. Of course, we were both, for a while with that, we were full-time students and then full-time working, so sometimes we'd go for a year without too much happening, but we did several types of video and actually won a couple awards with
it.
Wow. Then we branched into a few other things and then started to do projection visuals behind live music. And we did that for a number of years.
Which bands?
I'm sorry?
Which bands did you do that with?
We started with a local band called Big Soap.
Yeah.
And then we progressed to a couple other, like Popopolis for a while was a yearly event, a fundraising kind of thing that we did it with. We did a long period with Ray's Music Exchange.
Sure.
And so just a number of bands that we did it with. And we've done a couple things with Fringe Fest. So
fantastic.
A little bit of everything that we've done a part of. Our biggest thing was we did Hamlet with the No Theater, and it was a multimedia production. We had 18 TVs and a large screen, and we did the video for that entire process. That was a humongous thing.
I bet.
That killed us both. but it was a great thing, and we actually won a Cincinnati Entertainment Award from it.
Absolutely fantastic.
We just have a great time doing it. So when John called me, it was like we were both huge fans of Pink Floyd. And I mentioned to him that we do live with projection visuals with live music.
Uh-huh.
He was like, great, we're looking for something like that. And we just kind of hooked together and are working together. And for my friend and I, it's kind of like this vicarious working with Pink Floyd experience, which is just tremendous.
I bet it was. Well, you know, that's kind of like a match made in heaven.
Yeah, it's very amazing how it all kind of worked out.
Well, one thing I learned from Pink Floyd and specifically the Momentary Lapse album, the first thing I learned is that there is no such thing as coincidence, Bob. There isn't. And for me, it wasn't only just about politics. It wasn't only just about getting up and getting off my butt and quitting the bitching and getting things going. But it really was spiritual for me. And I know that that was part of it for you as well.
Absolutely.
And I totally believe that this song is a spiritual song. I believe that Learning to Fly is a spiritual song.
Sure.
You know, he said it himself. It was the learning to fly the plane. He just happened to be in the process of getting his license at the time that he wrote that song. And it really was a spiritual song about spiritual flight and things of that nature. And, of course, you know, all of the Pink Floyd music from the first day, even without Dave and through Dave and everything, for me and for many of us, of course, is spiritual. And it changes the way people think. I think that not only, even without the words, you can take the words out and you'll still get the same response in your brain.
Absolutely. Some of their instrumental pieces to me are very uplifting, moving, spiritual.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a doctor, you know how the brain works and the brain chemicals and certain things, drumming and certain musics and things of that nature can bring about chemical changes in the brain as well. And I truly believe that they have figured out the art of doing that with brain chemicals. And it turned you on, it turned me on, it turned John on, and many, many other people.
Yeah.
Now, not to get too long on the Pink Floyd thing, of course, the band Signs of Life is playing at the Covedale Theater, and that is this Saturday. Somebody looked at the calendar wrong yesterday on the air and said, it's Friday, but it is Saturday this weekend at the Covedale Cinemas. And what time does the doors open for that show, do you know?
The band will start at 8 p.m.
Okay.
And we'll be there quite long before that, setting up and getting everything ready.
I'm sure you will.
We've already got our video produced, and I've rehearsed the pushing the right buttons at the right place. So hopefully we'll be all set for that.
That is the important thing, is hit the buttons when they're supposed to be hit. Like,
right.
I didn't hit my button before. It is one of those things. Well, I'll tell you, real quick, I don't want to give any secrets out about what's on the video this weekend, but what are some of the, just a couple of highlights that you've put in for the show this weekend?
Well, we're going to be doing Astronomy Domine.
Awesome.
And I've taken quite a number of Hubble shot pictures, and that'll be part of the display during that song. There'll be several Dark Side of the Moon songs being played and all that goes with that. I think we've got some really fun video with Time.
Awesome.
The song selection is really great and spans the whole gamut of Pink Floyd from early to late. So I think it'll be a great for anybody who's even close to being a Pink Floyd fan. They'll love the set list for this concert.
So not to promote another Pink Floyd tribute band while we are promoting yours and John's and everybody else's Signs of Life, but I'm sure you've heard of one of the other tribute bands, I should say, Australian Pink Floyd show. Have you heard of them?
What was the name again?
The Australian Pink Floyd show.
Oh, yes, saw them twice, in fact.
Did you? Where at? Where did you see them?
In Cincinnati. Let's see. I think they were both in Cincinnati. It was at the Taft, I think.
Yes, they played the Taft. You were there? Wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, just enjoyed that a lot. And then I saw a New Zealand Pink Floyd cover band here in Cincinnati as well.
Oh, now I don't know about the New Zealand guys, but you've seen Aussie once then?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm thrilled that you were at that show. I just wish I would have known you at the time. We would have, again, I don't believe in coincidence. And some years back, I had seen them in Detroit, and then I dragged all my friends up to Cleveland, or actually not Cleveland, just was Akron outside of, or Canton. We always go, was it Akron or Canton? Because they're almost synonymous around Cleveland. I think it was Canton we actually saw them at the Canton Civic Center. And so happened that I also knew another tribute band out of Cleveland, and that, I'm going to wish you were here. I don't want to forget their name. Their Wish You Were Here. And since we knew them, we got a couple of backstage passes that they had gotten so they could go meet the other band, and we all got to go back and meet Aussie Floyd. And from then on out, we struck a friendship up, and wherever they are, close to wherever I am, I even got to see them at Stockton, California when I was out in California one time. And so I want to let you know now, next time they're in the area, and it'll be this fall, I would love to take you to see them again and have you backstage with us, because after the show, I'm a very fortunate person, I have to say, that I know these guys and get backstage with them wherever I go to see them. And I would love for you to meet them and meet their video guy. And that's Brian. He does great, great stuff. I'm sure you've seen that, and it's even bigger and better now since when you saw them at the Taft. Let's not forget, we have to plug Roger. You know, he's going on tour with his band with the Well this year.
I have tickets.
I'm about to get mine. So, I want to do the Columbus show, the Cleveland show, and probably the Detroit show. And if I'm lucky, maybe even the Chicago show. do a little Floyd tour around. My only concern, I'll be honest, is, they better not be back-to-back with Aussie.
That's right.
I hope, I'm sure that their tour guy will put the tour on the right dates to not conflict with Roger's show.
That makes sense.
But, listen, I do want to touch base on one other thing before I let you go, just a couple of minutes on, first of all, you said public access you did. Was that the local public access here in Cincinnati, which is now known as Media Bridges?
Right.
Fantastic. We have to give a plug out for our public access here that, of course, is the parent agency and company over our WVQC.org and soon to be 95.7. Now, we also found out yesterday that we have other connections. You also used to be at the other volunteer radio station with the alternating current show, which is now on WVQC Saturdays.
Yes.
And I just think that is so fantastic.
Yeah, for several years I did a health spot on AC and with a couple friends of mine. So that was fun. Good time.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, as I mentioned, you know, Cheryl from the For Every Woman is our one of our board members on our advisory board with myself that I just made the board as well. And both her show and the Alternating Currents have left the other station and is now again on our station Saturdays. They are from all together 1 to 5 Saturdays, and everybody will be able to hear that on the air as soon as our antenna does go back up. And we hope that you join them again sometime in the future. And I am definitely going to get you live in the studio sometime as well, Bob.
I'd like to do that.
So I am, again, going to give kudos to Signs of Life and Dr. Bob Donovan. If you know anybody that needs some medical help and is in a homeless situation, they can get a hold of you. Again, what is the clinic you're at?
The biggest part would be the MedVan program, the Healthcare for the Homeless program. And if you have questions about it, you can call 352-2902.
And that, of course, is a 513 area code.
Correct.
Bob, I'm going to let you go. I know you got a lot of work to do today, and you got your clinic starting very soon. So thank you, thank you, thank you very much. It's been a thrill to talk to you and know your story and be a part of connecting you with your life's work with Pink Floyd Video.
Good to talk with you.
Absolutely.
It's great fun, and look forward to seeing everybody on Saturday.
You bet, and I can't wait to meet you face-to-face.
Fantastic.
Awesome. We'll be right back.
flap, flick a flick a flick a flap.
Hey, I'm Willie Nelson, and I started the Teapot Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at Facebook.com/Teapot Party or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that one. Hi, I'm Willie Nelson. And you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
All right, we are back after that 25-minute segment with Dr. Bob Donovan from our local clinic for the homeless, where he is a doctor. And, of course, we are also still sitting in the studio with John Stancorb from Signs of Life. So we've got about 20 minutes. I want to talk to you about more in depth of what we started to say in the beginning of the show about your inspiration and where you've come from and how it brought you where you are today with the band. So give us you wanted to know what he did prior to what he's doing now as a doctor, homeless doctor. What did you do before?
Well, what I still do is I have a music studio in Madeira. I teach guitar for a living. I teach Monday through Saturday. I have about 60 students that I teach a week.
Wonderful.
So I've been doing that for quite a while. Prior to this, I had been in a couple of other tribute bands.
Which ones?
One was Asia, Steely Dan tribute.
Love them both?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Enjoyed playing with that group for about a year and a half, 2 years. And then also a group with some of the same guys from that band. It was a Beatles tribute called Savoy Truffle. We did all the era Beatles stuff from the Revolver era through Abbey Road.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun.
Some think the best.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I wanted to, Pink Floyd was the motivation for playing music and my biggest inspiration. And I always thought that I would like to have a tribute band that was a show that was really there was a visual aspect of it as well as the musical aspect. Of course, I had no idea what I was in for. I think anybody that wants to go out and put together a Pink Floyed tribute band,
you better be dedicated.
Well, you have to be dedicated, but you also have to have a lot of chutzpah to go out, because there's going to be a lot of people saying, okay, I've seen the Aussie Floyd, I've seen some of the other Pink Floyd tribute bands, which
That's
I will
right.
say that if you do see any of the Pink Floyd tribute bands and you compare, it's not like you're seeing the same bands.
They're
vastly different from the way that they present the show.
Which is why I like to see all of them.
Right. They all have something a little bit unique.
That's right. One plays a different song that the other group might not play, something older.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. There's some really good ones out there. I did a lot of research with Pink Floyd tribute bands prior to putting this together. And one thing I noticed was there's a lot of really good bands out there, but I was amazed at, in watching their video clips, they seem to, and the band is probably tired of hearing me say this because it's kind of like preaching to the band. What my goal in doing this was to present the music in a very powerful way with the video, with the presentation, but to not draw attention to any particular individual. Some of the other Pink Floyd tribute bands have a very American hard rock band approach.
That's
You'll see the bass player and the guitar player leaning against each other as one of the guys is taking a solo, or they'll be very animated and demonstrative. And if you've ever seen The Floyd, they were anything but that.
They'd stand there. The only movement you'd get out of David Gilmour was his mouth and eyes.
That's right. And that's really, you know, Dave, I won't call him Dave. He doesn't like to be called
David.
Dave. He's David.
That's
but David and Roger, to a degree, their whole modus operandi is to move people. And it's not really about doing cartwheels or windmills and all these kind of things like "Look at Me." It's about presenting creating an emotion or a vibe or moving people. That is the only reason I play. From an affliction of many guitar players is this idea of bigger, faster, more notes. Look at me, kind of
right.
Guitar as penis.
That's not David's
thing
at all.
No, my thing is about, you know, moving people. I've found that, especially through doing the Pink Floyd thing, that it's about leaving holes in the music and space and creating a vibe and emotion and trying to connect in a very emotional way, trying to move people.
It is an emotional thing, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so if you can do that, I think you're, and you're not drawing attention to yourself. I wanted to present a very English, I mean, we're a Midwestern group of folks,
but they're not. They're English.
We wanted to promote a kind of a more reserved, a very dynamic show, but not anything where there's any one. There's 10 of us in the band. There's 3 female vocalists and 7 musicians. Each person gets an opportunity to shine.
Now, on that, of course, we know what the girls do. What are the different musicians other than yourself?
Well, we have myself, of course, and then we have another guitar player that also plays keyboards. His name's Rick Fields, and then we have another
keyboard player named Rick. Imagine that.
Keyboard player, and he actually kind of looks like Rick.
Oh, that's funny.
Kind of a shoulder length grayish hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Rich Biondo is a rhythm guitar player. John Haar is a bass player. Dan Epier is a drummer. Bill Brandenburg is the keyboard player, plays all the Hammond and piano parts and the synthesizer stuff. Saxophone player that plays both baritone, alto, and tenor saxes for all the really cool saxophone parts. And then we have 3 vocalists. His name is Randy Thompson. And Renee O'Brien, Renee Fry, and Jackie Chitwood are the 3 backing vocalists. And those 3 ladies bring the real soul to the show. When they sing on stuff from Dark Side of the Moon or even some of the stuff from Division Bell or...
Yeah.
They really have a lot of soul and a lot of presence. It's a really great band, and I think...
Now, there's been some people changes in the band from the show that I saw last year.
We have a new drummer, Dan Epier, and a couple of new vocalists, female vocalists. But mm-hmm. Essentially, the lineup is... pretty close to the same as what you've seen.
Very good.
Yeah.
Of course, now when I saw him, you didn't have Dr. Bob doing your video, so I'm really
No, we had a
forward.
Company called Partech that had done some video stuff for us, and then I had actually produced the first show. I did all the video for that. Of course, I had somebody else run the video stuff, but we were borrowing heavily from the Pink Floyd original video, and now we're using our own video, so it's
good.
Stuff that we have copyright.
Good. Well, that's one of the things that I always thought, aside from the fact that they have the budget to do the big stuff, referring to Ossie Floyd, is that they do their own video stuff. From the beginning,
right.
They've done their own video stuff, and it has that Australian slant. Instead of instead of a pig, it's kangaroo, things
kangaroo,
like that.
Right.
Or, you know, in the video of Momentary Lapse, where the guy's being wheeled through the airport on the gurney, it's the... kangaroo.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
So there's definitely the theme still left from the
right.
original, but
well,
with that flair.
Exactly. You know, the interesting thing about the different Pink Floyd tribute groups is even within what exists now for Roger Waters and David Gilmour, if you go to see a Roger Waters show, it's going to stand in stark contrast to a David Gilmour show.
Absolutely.
David is really into the... just presenting the music, not that he's against any of the, but you don't, like his last tour, you didn't see any
scale
videos
down.
Or pigs or any of that kind of stuff. Whereas Roger really goes for the bombast.
Yes.
But
they were his ideas to begin with.
Right. Neither one of those are, it's just different. That's why I think there's room for everybody.
I do too.
To kind of contribute and to do their to do their thing.
Put in what they got out of it, because exactly. Everybody gets something different out of, well, of course, any kind of music, but specifically what we're talking about.
Even still with the number of Pink Floyd tribute bands that there are out there, it pales in comparison to the Beatle tribute bands that are out there. There's so many
Pink
Beatles.
Pink Floyd, I think, has the most tribute bands. Of bands that become tribute bands for other music.
Right.
I watch, a lot of music out there. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of stuff. And I have yet to see the numbers in other bands, tribute bands, versus Pink Floyd. It's just, to the point where, and I've mentioned this to you, mm-hmm. You may have forgotten that out of Ohio, northeastern area of Ohio, mm-hmm. I can't remember, you can actually find them on MySpace, is Polka Floyd.
The Polka Floyd, right.
And I make the joke because my mother made me and my little brother take accordion lessons when I was like 10. Mm-hmm. He was about 6. And I just hated it. I'm like, I don't want to play accordion. I want to play piano. No, you got to do the accordion first.
Sure.
I think it was the Jewish thing. Mm-hmm. And today I say, we only need one Judy Tenuta. But I heard about the Polka Floyd, and I'm like, you mean I could have played accordion in a Pink Floyd cover band?
Right.
What was I thinking at 10?
Right.
But it's so funny because even that, which has the polka style in it, it's really good music anyway.
Right.
Then there's the Jamaican, there's a couple of different Jamaican CDs out there.
An interviewer in a magazine had asked David Gilmour about something, and he had said that he had heard the Dark Side of the Moon, the reggae dub version of that.
Yes.
And he said he really enjoyed it.
It's really good.
Yeah, when the material, it just goes to show you good songs are good songs.
That's
and there's
right.
plenty of room for, however, with what we do, we really would not want to disappoint fans that come to hear the classic Floyd and do stylistic reinterpretations. And, that's kind of the thing with some feed, because I get, as you would guess by now, I get a lot of people emailing me and giving me
their opinions,
which is fantastic. It's always good to get feedback. And they're
always going to get the naysayers.
Right. But they'd said that they'd seen a couple bands that were really good, and one of the guitar players was just kind of playing really jazzy stuff, kind of sounded like Pat Metheny playing with Pink Floyd. And they thought, well, that just was a little disappointing because, some of those guitar solos are so classic. I mean, they're really parts of the song. There's really not any room to deface those solos.
Right. Now, it's funny, Dave did it on his own tour. He did change a few things up here and there. It was really funny. But, he's the one that created it.
He's the one that created it. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But, we're talking about all the bands and, of course, how they're, or the Floyd stuff, where it is the whole package, not mm-hmm. not one person.
Right.
So much so that that's why Roger came up with the concept on the wall tour in 79 that they built a wall between them mm-hmm. and the band. And then for the second half of the show, you couldn't even see the band members.
Right.
And it was all about the concept of the wall and stuff. Now, of course, speaking of that, I always like to make the joke that Roger Waters is the best Pink Floyd band in the world. That's my little sidebar joke. As much as I love and adore, and I'm going to all of his shows, of course, we've mentioned he's going on a tour with the Wall this year.
Right.
And I can't wait. I think they're fantastic. But it is just Roger. And, of course, John Karen, he always joins in. So he's one of the other, as far as I'm concerned, Floyd members now.
Yep.
Talk about somebody who can work with both sides.
In fact, there's a little bonus thing on one of the David Gilmour DVD things where you get to see Roger meeting with David and Polly
at the studio. Yep, I saw
it. Preparing for a tour, and in the background you can kind of see John Karen and Colin Norfield, who's the sound guy for the Aussie Floyd.
That's right.
Kind of lingering around the back, and that made me wonder, wow, what would that be like to be in both bands, knowing, okay, I'm going to go rehearse with David now, but I'll see you later, Roger.
Yeah,
I'll catch you later.
What a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
He's getting both sides. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's a very, very talented. I don't know if anybody really can fully appreciate, because sometimes the greater players get, that are sidemen, get kind of nudged and out of the spotlight. But, he sings great, plays great lap steel, acoustic guitar,
unbelievable.
Keys.
That's
and actually programs a ton of stuff. Ask any Pink Floyd tribute band keyboard player how much work is required in programming all those sounds.
That's right.
And John is the master of that.
He is a master. I was very fortunate at Roger's 1999-2000 tour. Mm-hmm. It was the In the Flesh tour, to see him at Deer Creek, which mm-hmm. is something else now in
yeah.
Indiana.
Right.
And I was third row. And at the end of the show, I was so close that I was able to go, "John!" And I yelled, "John!" And he looked up and I did the "Bravo" with the kiss, and he nodded at me, made eye contact, just to let him know, we know who you are.
Yep.
You're not getting out of here without us telling you we love you, too. And that's the one thing about Roger. He knows how to pick them, too.
He really does.
As much as there might have been some animosity at that time in the late 80s, early 90s, mm-hmm. between the Floyd members, that is, he never held that against John and said, "Hey, that's a great musician. Come along with me, too."
Right. Yeah.
So, I am looking forward to seeing him. And, of course, let's not forget to give a plug out for Harry Waters. Yeah. Roger's son is one of those keyboard players on this tour again. He's mm-hmm. Now done a few, two or three tours with him, or including this one coming up. And if you don't know who he is, he's the guy with the long dreads.
That's right.
Unless he cut them.
Yeah.
But I think that is so cool we've come so far that Roger has his adult son playing in the band with him now.
Yeah, I think it was rumored, I'm not sure if this is true, that he's actually the little boy that says, "Look, Mommy, there's an airplane up in the sky." Goodbye, Blue Sky, but I don't know if that's him or not.
We'd have to do the math and see how old he was at the time. He probably was.
Yeah,
he probably
could be.
Was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anything, we got a few minutes left.
Yep.
So anything specifically you want listeners to know about this weekend show?
Well, we've got the show coming up this weekend, Saturday. Doors open, I guess it's 7:30. Show starts at 8. Tickets are available on the website, which I'd recommend checking out the website for anybody that's interested. We've got some video clips and audio clips of the band. There's a link to buy tickets. It's signsoffloyd.com, signsofloyd.com.
That's right. Signs of Floyd.
In addition to Dark Side, we'll be featuring stuff from Piper at the Gates of Dawn, Saucer
Great.
Full of Secrets, even something from Obscured by Clouds.
Are going, "What's that?"
Obscured by Clouds, right. So we try to touch on a little bit of everything. So.
Yeah. And you know what? I have to say this. You may or may not have known about it. I am so disgusted. I did not have a chance to read through a January issue of City Beat. Mm-hmm. And in going through stuff in my house with my friend and pitching things that needed to go in recycling and stuff, I came across an ad for Zabriskie Point was playing at the Art Museum this past January, and even had a guy that at the end talked about the movie and mm-hmm. Floyd and everything. I'm like, now how did I miss this?
Wow, yeah.
I've yet to see the movie, and I was so upset that I missed that in January, so I didn't know if you... now I'm going to make you feel really crappy, too.
Yep, I did not catch that.
Now we're both pissed off.
I've seen little clips of the Barbe Schroeder, like Moore and things like that, and it's a little...
One of these days I'll go on Amazon and get
it. It's an acquired taste.
Yes. Yeah. Even though Floyd is as huge as they are today, I still think of them as a cultish kind of band still from the early days. The only difference is that the cult got really big. Really, really big. Well, listen, we are almost to the top of the hour. We've just got a few minutes left.
Thanks for having me.
John, thank you for coming. I certainly appreciate it, and I can't wait to see this weekend's show. And, of course, we're going to give that information out again. That is signsoffloyd.com. Now, as I said in the beginning of the show, we did not play any music. First of all, I wanted to get a good long interview out of you guys. But also, here at the station at this point in time, we have to, in archiving purposes, we cannot do commercial music yet. It's a licensing problem. So if you don't agree with that, folks, write your congressman and tell him to stop this kind of shenanigans so people can listen to the music, because that's what Floyd would want. But due to that, we did not use any commercial music or any music at all today. And when we put the archive up on the WEED Radio Network at weedradionetwork.com, it will include the interviews as well as the CD. Now, what's on the CD that you handed to me?
It's some live cuts. Well, it's full songs from the... we did a 30th anniversary of The Wall show back in November.
Okay.
And I think there's Have a Cigar, Shine on Crazy Diamond, Fat Old Son, Wish You Were Here. There's probably 6 or 7.
Wonderful. Well, I will definitely put this in the edit on the site.
Absolutely.
Great. So people can hear your stuff and links to the site as well. Again, the doors are 7:30, and tickets can be got on the website or at the door. And since we can't say the cost, we won't tell people what the cost is, but it is, and we'll say, a small donation to help the band get bigger
That's right.
and do bigger shows. And so I want to thank you again, John, for coming in from Signs of Life. And, of course, a shout-out to Dr. Bob, who is working with the homeless people right now that need some medical attention. This is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress. He's Burn Man, and Country Kenny's out there somewhere.
This has been Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress on
WEEDRadioNetwork.com. Thanks for turning us on.
Find Hemp Rock Radio at WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening. Yeah.